Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello and thanks for joining us for another episode of Friends with Money, Money Magazine's podcast to help you earn, save and achieve your financial goals. My name is Tom Watson, a senior journalist here at Money Magazine, and as always, it is great to be with you. Next Tuesday evening on May 14th, Federal Treasurer Jim Chalmers will hand down the 2024 federal budget, Labor's third budget since coming into power in 2022. And like its previous two budgets, this year's budget is once again being unveiled against an interesting backdrop. While the rate of inflation has eased over the past year, cost of living pressures have not gone away, nor has the issue of housing affordability. In fact, I think it's fair to say that it's become even more of a prominent issue over the past year. Now, those are only two areas that the government may be looking to address next week, but of course, there'll be plenty more too. So I'm pleased to say that joining us today to give us some perspective on the wider economic context and to chat about some of the measures that we might see in the 2024 federal budget is Deputy Chief Economist at AMP, Diana Musina. Diana, welcome to Friends with Money.
Hi, Tom. Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, you are so welcome. It's great to get you on the show finally. To start us off with, Diana, just if you can give us maybe a bit of an overview, what are some of the broader economic issues, both in Australia and overseas, that the Treasurer will have been thinking about when putting together this year's budget?
So the broader economic context for Australia in the past few years has actually come out a lot better than where the Treasury was forecasting it to be. And for that reason, we've seen the budget improve over the last two financial years. So in 2023 to 2024, the current fiscal year, the budget's actually likely to come out as a surplus again. We think somewhere at around $12 billion. That was after a small surplus last year. And that's thanks to commodity prices remaining elevated, thanks to strong jobs market, which means that the government's earnings from payroll taxes and individual taxes as well has gone up, and just that the general state of the economy has been stronger than they were forecasting. So it means that their revenue windfalls are higher. And the global context has actually been pretty solid as well. I mean, a lot of the concern that one of the major global economies like the US would go into a recession hasn't actually happened. Global growth has been revised up as well. So the stronger global context also helps Australia both from the import-export point of view, but also through leading to higher commodity prices, which is a big revenue source for the Australian government.
Indeed it is. And as I mentioned earlier, the cost of living is obviously still a massive issue across the country at the moment. So has the government already hinted at any measures aimed at providing cost of living relief that are, you know, likely to be in this budget?
The cost of living challenge is difficult because on the one hand, you could argue that the government should be giving more back to the constituents, to households, to alleviate cost of living issues. But on the other hand, through the government giving back more funds to households, they add to the problem of the cost of living challenge. Because if you break down the two fundamental drivers of the cost of living challenge that we've been in the past years, one is high inflation. Two is the increasing level of interest rates or the hikes to the cash rate that have occurred from the Reserve Bank as a result of high inflation. Now, the RBA has been working hard to get inflation down by increasing interest rates, and the government has been putting more back into the economy than it's been taking out. So it's actually been leading to increasing fiscal stimulus once you account for both what's happening at the state and the federal level. So just because we're running a budget surplus doesn't necessarily mean that the government is having a contractionary budget, which is normally how you would think about it. When the government's in a budget deficit, normally that means that the government's adding to fiscal stimulus in the economy. And when they're in a surplus, they're in a contractionary state of fiscal stimulus. However, the state spending levels have been quite high. So when you think about those two things, the government's actually adding more back into the economy. That is problematic because we need to be getting inflation down. That should really be the main priority in Australia at the moment, because the issues with having high inflation are ultimately that you would need much higher interest rates, and that has negative implications for the economy in the short and the medium term. So I think that the government needs to be quite careful with how much relief it gives to households through cost of living measures. There are definitely some parts, some areas of households that need more support, perhaps for things like bill relief, but giving large handouts to households at the current point in the cycle will just make matters worse for the economy in the next 1 to 2 years. So the government needs to be quite targeted with what measures it gives back to households. From what they've suggested so far in the media leaks, it only seems like they're going to be looking at doing some bill relief for households. And that's on top of the tax cuts that are coming from the 1st of July. So I think that will probably be the extent of the cost of living relief.
Aside from cost of living as an issue, I feel like one of the other kind of really large issues that has been working its way through the media and just general society over the past year and longer is housing affordability. And as I said before, I think it's become more prominent recently as rent prices have gone up, property prices seem to be continuing to climb, and the issue of supply seems to have really been thrust into the spotlight in a major way recently. So is there likely to be anything targeting housing or housing affordability specifically in the budget?
The government always tries to address housing affordability in some way in the budget. And the reality is that it is incredibly difficult to achieve just from a federal point of view. We need to get the involvement of the federal government, states, and the local government together to really help to solve some of the issues in housing affordability. And the issues are multifaceted. So, I mean, one of the major issues has been that the government's migration targets have been way too high. We've been seeing net immigration last year for those coming on permanent and long-term arrivals running at, you know, close to 550,000 people over the year. That's way too high at a time when we're already facing quite challenging situation in housing supply, because we have had this chronic level of housing undersupply for the last decade in Australia, particularly across the East Coast. And that has just gotten worse after the pandemic because the immigration is just too high for this current point in the cycle. So that is something that needs to be addressed. The government has softly tried to target that by looking at education visas and trying to decrease the number of visas that are granted to students who then often go on to stay in Australia for a long time, even though they might come in on a short-term visa. But the Treasury itself is still going to forecast, I think, about net immigration around 400,000 people over the next 12 months. Now, that's still incredibly high for Australia. I think we should be running numbers closer to 200,000 like we were before the pandemic because of the supply situation that we find ourselves in terms of housing. So that's an area that I don't think that they've really addressed properly. The other major issue that contributes to the challenges with housing affordability is around the taxation and the very favourable taxation of housing through negative gearing, the capital gains tax concession, and not including the family home in the age pension test. Those issues are not going to be touched in the budget, and I think it's incredibly difficult to see any of those issues really being looked at in the next few years because they're politically very, very difficult to achieve. The government came out last year with this National Housing Accord target, which ultimately aims to build 240,000 new homes a year, so 1 million homes over 5 years or so. And we are well shy of those targets. The current level of construction and based on approvals and commencements and completions at the moment is somewhere between 150,000 to 160,000 homes a year, which is obviously massively under the government's forecast of 240,000 homes or their aim to build that much. So I feel like we are continually falling short of supply for housing, and the government's also not addressing some of the other issues that are adding to housing demand. And I don't think that they're going to address any of those things in this budget. They'll talk about lowering immigration numbers for the next year, but it's not really enough to change the issues that are going on in the housing market, unfortunately.
Definitely, unfortunately, for many people out there who want to get in at some point. Beyond housing and beyond cost of living, two topics that I know that our listeners are always keen to hear about, and one that you've already touched on very briefly already, Deanna, is superannuation and tax. So is there anything new on either front that we're likely to see included in the budget next week?
On superannuation, it doesn't look like the government's going to announce anything new. They already made some announcements around taxing superannuation balances of over $3 million. And they've had a lot of pushback with that because they weren't going to increase the cap over time. So I think that there'll be some changes around that. But they've already tinkered with that. So I don't think that they want to do anything else around superannuation because it normally doesn't come out very favorably. And we are sort of in a pre-election budget. I think we will see another budget before the election next year, but the government probably still has to tread carefully in this year's budget because it knows that it will go to an election next year. So I don't think there'll be anything around superannuation or any major changes. Around taxation, the government has continually tried to shy away from talking about tax reform or doing something around tax reform or even having an inquiry into taxation, sort of like the Henry Tax Review that we've had in the past. So I don't really see any changes to taxation in terms of personal income taxation. The tax cuts start from the 1st of July for middle and high income earners. The government has also spoken a lot about its new Future Made in Australia policy, which I think will kind of be I think it will be the major policy announcement within the budget. I mean, they've already announced a lot of stuff around it, but that will kind of be the main policy of this year's budget. And that could allow some tax concessions for businesses, not a corporate tax rate cut, but just some allowances around depreciation and some of those types of things. But that will be more from the business side.
Beyond those topics, Deanna, there are obviously so many different issues and measures that are going to be outlined next week, far too many for us to preview today. But is there anything else that you'll be keeping your eye on come next week, come 7:30 on Tuesday evening?
Well, the budget papers are so long and it always takes us hours to read them. So there will be plenty of stuff in there to look at. I mean, the major policy will be this Future Made in Australia policy around trying to bring some investment for business investment from foreign and domestic sources. But besides that major policy announcement, some cost of living relief, I think the government will also try to give some more allowances to the green energy sector, which they have in the past few budgets, some more, and there'll probably be some more goodies in there for green energy. Maybe something around apprenticeships, trying to decrease youth unemployment rates, which are starting to creep back up despite the unemployment rate nationally being quite low. They'll probably have to do or mention something around domestic violence, given the issues that we've had in the past few months around domestic violence issues towards women in Australia. Maybe some more focus on infrastructure spending as well and trying to reduce the national infrastructure pipeline so as to not to add to inflationary pressures. That will be something else that I'm watching because that has implications for housing investment and development as well, and obviously for inflation.
Well, 7:30 p.m. next Tuesday night, as I said, I'll be in the lockup digging through those very long papers, as you mentioned before, Deanna. But thank you so much for coming on the show. You've made me feel a lot more prepared for next week than I was before. So it's been a pleasure having you on, and we'll look forward to having you on next time as well.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to talk to you too.
That's it for this episode of the Friends with Money podcast. But don't forget to jump on our website, moneymag.com.au, for your daily dose of financial news, or you can go grab yourself a copy of the latest edition of Money Magazine in all good newsagents. As always, Friends with Money will be right back in your podcast feed next week. So until then, I am Tom Watson. Goodbye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au.
Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.